country people.
Good morning, Lagos. This is Dr. Wiba Boer on Power Solutions on Nigeria Info 99.3 FM, Lagos, and it's good to be back here. Today we have a guest, a lawyer. Today we have a lawyer, so you're going to get some free legal advice today. This is Dolapo Kukoyi. She's a partner with Detail, and she is kind of the lawyer that is the top leading kind of power lawyer in Nigeria, so power sector lawyer. So Dolapo, thank you very much for taking time out to be on the show.
Thank you, Wiba.
And just to make sure, you're not on the clock, right? Like, you're not charging me for this 30 minutes, correct?
Don't be too sure.
Don't be too sure.
Especially because you pledged me to free advice.
Okay, all right. Well, we'll send the bill to Nigeria Info, not to me. Is that okay?
That's fine.
Fine. Okay, good. Well, anyway, good. Thank you very much for being on the show today. And so, just to the listeners, I mean, you know, we've had so many companies on over the last year. And many of these companies, you know, when they raise money, when they're looking for advice, it's actually Dolapo that they come to. So she's the brains behind many of the successes that we've been learning from. So now we get to go direct to the source. So tell us about how did you evolve to become the kind of power sector lawyer for Nigeria? And, you know, is it something that, you know, you knew you wanted to do this as a child, or where did this come from?
Thanks, Huber. Actually, I didn't think that I was going to do this. Even my journey in law, at first I didn't even think that I wanted to do law after I left university.
Okay.
But the only job I found was law.
But you did study law.
I did study law.
But you didn't like
and
it.
And I got disillusioned in university.
Okay.
And I thought that whatever I wanted to do had to just be client service. But I didn't quite merge it in my mind, you know, how I could do law that way. But as God would have it, that was the only thing that I ended up doing.
Okay.
And when I then started doing law in Nigeria, I didn't start doing power at all.
Okay.
So started doing corporate commercial. I was very sure that I didn't want to do anything to do with litigation. I thought my strengths were more to do with, you know, transactional or solicitor's work.
You didn't want to go to court?
No, because it didn't suit my temperament. Okay. It didn't bring out my abilities. It just didn't work.
But on TV, that's like the glamour part of being a lawyer, right?
That's what I always dreamed of. Yeah. So growing up, I always wanted to be a lawyer. And I thought that the argumentative part was actually cool.
Yeah.
But then getting into university and seeing what it was, it wasn't that much interesting.
Okay.
But fast forward, maybe after I've been practicing for 3-4 years, the opportunity came.
Okay.
So I've been a lawyer for, let's say, over 15 years.
Okay.
And it just came as an opportunity. At the time when Detail was still quite a young firm, and one of the things I wanted to do was, you know, work in emerging areas, push emerging areas, because as a young firm in Lagos, you come into already a blue sea, which means the sea that already has occupants.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and
yeah.
they're already in their own, you know, focused practice areas.
Right.
So we had to make ourselves distinct and distinguish ourselves by looking at emerging areas, and one of them was power.
Okay, but so it was a strategy from Detail. You said, let's look at this. Okay.
It was a strategy.
And then you got put on the first power client, or what happened?
So, yes, so we first started with work for the regulator.
Okay.
Which we started doing, and started doing even more complicated stuff. But that was good for us because it helped us understand the whole landscape.
Okay.
You know, and at the time, we started that in 2008, 2009.
Okay.
And by the time the power privatization started, we were already well positioned to work for bidders who were looking to do, you know, who were looking to bid.
Right. Okay. So a lot of them called you up to work with them on those transactions.
Yes. Some of them called us up, and we had a good pitch to pitch to people.
Okay.
At the time, because we've been in the space.
Okay. And so some of them that you now worked with to close the deals, are they still talking to you?
Good question. Yes. Some of them, yes.
Some of them.
And we still work for some of them, at least for the investors. We still work for them because we are still helping them through the hoops.
Okay.
You know, I would say many things about the privatization. You know, people say, yes, largely it looks like it's people could say it's failed. Mm-hmm. But it was a very ambitious program.
Very much, yeah.
It was very, very ambitious. And I don't think that any country has ever...
I think it was actually the most significant single privatization of power in any country ever.
In any country. Yeah. In any country. And there was so much energy. There was energy, there was enthusiasm, there was government support. You know, the Nigerian banks were there, although mm-hmm. they may have had their own notions. You know, but there was a lot of... I use the word patriotism, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. you know, and we had a regulator that was strong, mm-hmm. you know, so there was a lot going on for that transaction. I guess that it was the follow throughs, mm-hmm. you know, the fact that there were many things to follow through after that deal that still right. didn't go through.
Right.
I think those were some of the things that,
right.
you know.
Okay, so but at the time it made sense.
Well, commercial sense is another thing that I said.
Right.
You remember that I said there was a lot of goodwill, there was a lot of patriotism, there was a lot of emotions in this thing.
Yeah.
Now, the commercials were another.
Right.
I think it was that we would get through this because there were promises made.
Right, yeah.
Now, from someone looking on from the outside, from investors, a lot of investors, international investors, sat in those rooms. Mm-hmm. But they dropped out because a lot of things didn't make sense to them. But the Nigerians chose through.
Right.
And why? Because they are Nigerians. They are here and they thought, okay, you know, if government has given this much support, then we'll push it through.
Right. And my understanding was there wasn't a lot of data to work with.
No. So that was the major issue.
Right.
The fact that there wasn't much data to work with. The fact that they couldn't even go into the assets.
Right.
You know. And I think one of the issues was that we gave too much to labor. Mm-hmm. You know, and maybe we could have structured the transaction differently such that not all of that money, you know, should have gone to labor. Maybe we should have paid less and had some of that money stashed away to help with refurbishing some of these mm-hmm. discos and restructuring them and all of that.
Okay. Okay. So but let's move on to something more positive now. So this means, you know, 10 years or so you've been doing your firm Detail and you in particular have been doing energy-related transactions.
That's right.
So how has it evolved over time? I mean, now, you know, you're working with so many off-grid companies, solar companies, mm-hmm. but I guess 5 years ago, that wasn't even on the horizon. So when did you start seeing that kind of change and that kind of evolution?
You know, surprisingly, I've been doing off-grid. I started doing off-grid shortly after I started doing power deals.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So there were still companies who were doing this. And it was from the perspective, these were companies who were looking to deal with their power situation. I remember one of our first off-grid deals was a commercial or industrial cluster mm-hmm. where they were looking to basically provide power to, it was a company that had different subsidiary companies mm-hmm. and they were all within a 1 kilometer radius.
Okay.
That company still exists today. Mm-hmm. And they were looking to basically get licenses for a 1 megawatt facility.
And then to power themselves.
And to power themselves.
Okay. Right.
But of course, they wanted to do it in a commercial manner, which means that all of the subsidiaries would be paying, mm-hmm. you know, a tariff to the company who was providing the power. Right. So they had PPAs, they had everything.
So, and was there even regulation at that time to allow for that? There was,
So we got them a generation license and then found out that we had to get an off-grid generation license. And then found that we had to get them a distribution license.
Okay.
Now, that then coincided with the privatization.
Okay.
So it took much longer for them to get that license because
the regulator was
concerned that if I gave this, you know, the distribution company, I'll be taking some of their customers.
Yeah. And you're setting a precedent that then others will.
Okay, exactly. So, so we've been doing off-grid since then. And there was some other, for example, we're also working with other industrials who had been providing themselves power. And when they found that, okay, there's a semblance of an organized power sector, wanted to actually be able to sell power to others. But mm-hmm. of course, again, it was a slow process. Mm-hmm.
All right, so that was off-grid. But then when did you start seeing the solar companies come in?
I would say for the solar companies, maybe about 4 or 5 years ago.
Okay. Yes. All right, and then you know, so what's the balance now? Is more of the activity and so on in the off-grid and in the solar, or is there mm-hmm. still a lot going on in on-grid as well that you're seeing?
I think that there's much more buzz, a lot going on in the off-grid sector.
Okay.
So much more. And the reason is because there are a number of problems on the on-grid sector. So that are being
unresolved.
Resolved. And then the people in the on-grid space have more limited resources. Mm-hmm. They are not able to do more projects. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's having a spiral effect on more projects, mm-hmm. which what I mean is there are existing projects that are struggling to get paid. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But then you then have projects that have been in the pipeline that are trying to develop and can't go further because there's basically no horizon, you know. So those are stuck. Mm-hmm. But on the off-grid level, because there's so much scope for you to be attending to different segments, you know, you can actually sometimes even be doing this unregulated. There's
right.
a lot of
it's school. A bit under the radar.
It's
it can
a
be,
bit
yeah.
under the radar.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And there's so much that you can be doing. So we found that more recently, we're doing actually more.
Okay.
More off-grid.
Okay.
On a daily basis than on-grid. Although on the on-grid space, we're also advising DFIs on the whole scope. Space.
Okay, development finance institutions.
Yes, development finance institutions.
Yeah.
Sorry,
this is your grammar, not everybody knows. Yeah.
That's true.
Okay.
What they want to do is just basically make the environment more enabling, enable the environment, bring in more financing.
Mm-hmm. For the on-grid.
For the on-grid.
Right.
And even on the off-grid. So we're working on both.
Okay.
But more of the work that we're doing on the on-grid space now is, you know, trying to sort out the issues. Mm-hmm. And then from some of these new concepts that are coming up now that government is bringing up new regulations, see how they can actually work.
Right. Okay. So now, you know, if you're serving on-grid companies, off-grid, are there times when I mean, I know in firms you have ways to handle this, but do you ever find yourself, you're like, oh, wait, if I advise those guys this one and that one, I'm actually undermining them somehow?
Yes. Yes, that's what happened a number of times.
Okay.
But you know, as lawyers, we have to always deal with conflicts.
Right. Yeah.
So whether it's in energy or in whatever space that we're dealing with, we always have to do what are called conflict checks. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to be working for someone, you have to be sure that it's not conflicting with something else.
Right. 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 And then you'd have to give it to a different lawyer or something.
Different lawyer to do it.
Okay.
But
okay.
Sometimes that happens.
Okay.
But I would say that going forward, there's going to be more collaborations. Mm-hmm. Between the off-grid space and the on-grid space.
Okay, and so tell us more. That's through franchising or what? How do you see that happening?
So what we see happening now, and is some of the work that we even do with some of the people in the on-grid space, is that the distribution companies, for example, at least a few of them, have found that they can't continue to be in their own silos, you know, and just complain about the problems. Mm-hmm. So what they're doing is opening up their own franchise to people who have been operating in the off-grid space. Mm-hmm. So what they want is, we don't want to entirely lose our customers, particularly our commercial or our industrial customers. We can't control some of the issues that are happening because the power is coming through TCN.
Right.
But if we still have our power coming through TCN, someone who's on the off-grid space, who is able to give us reliable power, which can be solar, which can be gas, is able to bring liability so that we still have these customers. Mm-hmm. That way we are working together. Whatever power this other person supplies, and if it can be in a franchising situation, for example, he supplies that power and gets paid for it.
Right.
And then I, as a DISCO, still supply my own power as well. So we are likely to see more of those.
Right, okay.
I'm sure that you know about the GVE transaction where they now signed
I'm on their board, so
exactly.
Yes.
Where they sign an agreement with Abuja DISCO, for example, to provide power to a market.
Yeah.
So you begin to see a lot of
So an Abuja DISCO basically said, okay, you can power this better and manage this better.
That's right.
And are they generating new electricity, or is it using electricity that's already on the Abuja DISCO?
I think
network?
It's going to be a mix.
Okay.
Because the key thing is to provide reliability.
Right.
So maybe I don't know the details. And I'm sure you know better than I do, but maybe it would be solar, you know, and some of the grid.
Right.
So when the grid is on, it could be given priority, and solar kicks in during the day, grid brings in at night, or things like that, you know, certain times during the day, because this is the market, of course.
Yeah.
So we are going to see a lot more.
Right, and it works so much better that way than if you maybe do a market and then in the back of your mind you're worried, okay, when will the DISCO wake up one morning and tell me, sorry, we're taking it over?
Yeah.
Right, so this is a much better approach.
And you know, the thing that the developers need to understand more now about is that a disco really typically is not really worried about every small market.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, they need to sell their power.
Mm-hmm.
They are making losses, but key for them is how they can collect.
Right.
Now, so it's not every small market and every small mini grid that they'll be chasing you,
right.
You know, about. Key thing is try and sell them value as well, mm-hmm. for those mm-hmm. that are listening. You know, mm-hmm. try and bring a value add.
Mm-hmm.
There's also there's a program currently running, mm-hmm. that a development finance institution is running, mm-hmm. on mini grids as well,
mm-hmm.
for interconnected mini grids, and it's across the 6 geopolitical zones.
Right.
We're working with them on that. And what they're looking at is basically developers going to propose to the distribution companies to say, we can cover this area for mm-hmm. you. Some of them are rural, some of them are semi-urban, some of mm-hmm. them are peri-urban. What you also see is difficult to manage areas, mm-hmm. where you have people who maybe beat up, you know, their staff.
You mean beat up the disco staff?
Yes, beat up disco staff and all of that. What will happen is that you would have people in that community who are going to get franchises to be able to collect.
Right.
Once they can clean up that system, you would even have more power coming in.
Right.
So these are some of the things that we're working on to basically enhance or improve mm-hmm. on where we are in power sector.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So it started as off-grid and a bit of on-grid, and now there's actually integration.
Yes, there's integration.
All right. Excellent. So let's move on. I mean, there's some issues around, you know, regulation. I mean, you've referred to some of that, but mm-hmm. let's say the National Assembly called you today and said, okay, Dolapo, we want to do a comprehensive bill on off-grid energy, let's say off-grid energy, that fills the gaps that are still there for the industry, that are preventing the industry from taking off. What are 3 to 5 things you would recommend?
Okay. You've limited it to the off-grid space.
Okay. Let's do on-grid and off-grid then. Let's do both, since you're on both sides. Okay.
Okay. I think let's be clear. We have an electric power sector reform act that mm-hmm. is quite a good act.
Mm-hmm. And what year was that?
2000, I think it was in the early 2000s.
Okay, so
2005,
right.
I think that's 2005 or 2000. It's the early 2000s. And it's compared to, I've seen laws in other countries, mm-hmm. at least African countries. I think it's a comprehensive act, it's a good act. What I would say is, there are certain things that just need to be maybe more clarified.
Mm-hmm.
So if I was to talk to the off-grid space, for example, some people say, okay, the threshold of 1 megawatt, mm-hmm. make it a little, you know, make it higher.
Right. Until
you need a license.
Right.
So the law currently says that, you know, don't generate power. Mm-hmm. If you generate power above,
mm-hmm.
Above 1 megawatt, you need a license.
Mm-hmm.
Whilst I somewhat agree
mm-hmm.
with it, maybe between the band between 1 and 5,
mm-hmm.
give it a simpler process.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now,
so basically, if you're doing 1.1 megawatt or 1,000 megawatts, you need the 5. Same license.
Yes, yes.
Right now.
Yes, okay. 1,000 megawatts, you need the same license.
Okay.
And it depends on what you are doing. So mm-hmm. it could be an embedded generation license, it could be an mm-hmm. on-grid license, mm-hmm. it could be an off-grid license.
Right.
But just for 1 to 5, mm-hmm. make it a little, the process a little bit mm-hmm. Less stringent.
Right.
Than for
yep.
5
yeah.
5 upwards, because yeah. 5 upwards is likely to be more on-grid,
mm-hmm.
you know. The other thing would be electricity theft.
Okay.
So we have a little bit on electricity theft there, but it's not substantial. And I know that there's ongoing work on electricity theft law.
Okay, so what's the law now? If I'm stealing electricity, what legal recourse does a disco have?
Well, it's not the disco doesn't have any
none
recourse.
At all.
It's actually criminalized now.
Oh, it is. Okay.
It's criminalized. So some people say, oh, the penal code provides for it,
mm-hmm.
you know. But in terms of detail, it has some, but not much specifics.
Okay.
You know, in terms of the detail. So I think that it's one thing that we could do a lot more with. Mm-hmm. And I know that mm-hmm. there's ongoing work. But that said, we also recognize that states are one of the best enforcers.
Okay.
For, you know, electricity theft.
All right.
And perhaps kind of giving power to the states to also make their own laws, which kind they kind of have.
Really?
They kind of have by the Constitution.
Okay.
Anyway. I would also look at the autonomy of NERC, of the Nigerian Electricity Regulatory Commission, you know, and try and ensure that they are more autonomous and less powers of the minister to interfere.
Okay.
Yes. Just that we have, so that we have a stronger regulator. Although the act actually gives them a lot of room, but what we found is that sometimes we have interference, you know, from government. So a few of these, yes, what I'll do from top of my head.
Okay. All right. But it's not actually that long a list. So I think the flip side is what you're saying is what we already have in place is actually pretty good.
Yes, it's pretty good. I think things just need to be clarified. Mm-hmm. For example, there's a rural electrification fund that's provided for. Now, I would expect that it's by NERC regulation or something that we'll be able to go. I think they already actually have a policy. Mm-hmm. But maybe some specifics as to, okay, where does the money come from? You know, how can it be? Because in which the act kind of provides for. So it's more clarificatory. Mm-hmm. And these clarifications would be based on things that have happened, that have evolved. But our law as is not so bad.
Okay.
It's pretty great.
And it's evolving.
It's evolving. It's evolving. Okay. The other thing is tenure of licenses.
Right, okay.
That is something that we have to deal with.
Okay.
Although NERC has tried to deal with it, but what the law says now is that you can do 5 years and another 5 years.
Right.
When you reapply. So I think NERC has tried to get an order for licenses to have at least 15 years.
Right, because the typical return is 7 years.
That's
so then a five-year license doesn't make sense.
Doesn't make sense. That's right. So
okay.
That one is something that needs to be done.
Okay, so Dolapo, I know as a lawyer you may not want us to do this, but we're going to have to open the phone lines. Is that cool?
That's fine.
All right, I'm
kidding. I'm the radio
Okay.
That's fine.
All right, Zainab, can you play the numbers, please?
Call us on 01-277-0993, 01-277-1993, 01-277-2993, and 01-277-3993. This is Nigeria Info. We are listening.
All right. Okay. So as we wait for callers, you mentioned something about state level, about enforcement at state level.
Yes.
But what is the freedom of states? I mean, obviously there's a federal regulation, but at the state level, how different can a state sort of do with their own sort of policy on power and all that? Can they diverge quite a bit from federal, or does it have to be in line with?
Okay. So it's the constitution that gives the powers. And basically, there's what is called an exclusive list,
right?
Which is the items on that list are items that only federal can legislate on.
Okay.
And then there's a concurrent list. Mm-hmm. On that list, federal and state can legislate on.
Okay.
And there's a residual list, which is local governments.
Okay.
So on the federal list, what you have is transmission, for example. Mm-hmm. You know, generation is on the exclusive list. On the concurrent list, you have generation and you have distribution.
Okay.
Which has to be within the state and out of the transmission grid.
Okay.
So that's the key thing.
Okay. So a state could actually put up their own grid.
Yes. As long as it is outside of the transmission grid, which is which is the issue.
Right.
So,
because the grid is actually quite extensive, but it's
the grid is everywhere. Then there's also the doctrine of, I don't want to go loyally, but it's a principle.
Break it down.
A principle of covering the field.
Okay.
What it just means is that when the federal agent, when the federal level has actually enacted a law on something, now while states can enact the same laws, you can't enact laws that contradict.
Okay.
With the federal law.
Okay, so a state can't say you can put a grid anywhere, I don't care if there's
exactly. So you have to follow what's already done on the federal level.
Right.
So that's the key thing, and that's the reason why a state would not legislate on things or, you know, create its own agency that could be conflicting with an agency on the federal level.
Okay, so there isn't actually that much room then in the power
There is to do things as long as it's not within.
All right, we have a call. Sure. Okay, hello, good morning.
Hello.
Yes, good morning. What's your name, please? Okay. Sorry. Go on. Okay.
As long as it's not, for example, transmission. Mm-hmm. With distribution is even easier, but with transmission, as long as you are not within the transmission, the grid, the coverage of the transmission grid, you can.
Okay, so a state could do like a very rural sort of electrification
they
program.
They could do rural electrification. They could do embedded, actually. They could do embedded generation.
Okay. All right, so let's see if he was able to get back. No? Okay, all right.
So what embedded generation basically is being able to provide power within a distribution company's network. Mm-hmm. And you know that Lagos State has a lot of those.
Yeah.
So a lot of its IPPs in Ikeja, in Lekki, I think there's one in Lupeju as well. They are kind of like embedded generation.
Okay. All right. So hard to believe, but we're actually running out of time. Oh. We have about 3 minutes to go before Zainab kicks us out. Or 2 minutes, actually. 1 minute. Okay.
Wow.
So... So many of the questions I wanted to ask you, we haven't even got to, but maybe we'll have to have you back. But, you know, you've been doing this for 10 years. You talked to us a bit about the evolution, you know, and how 4 years ago solar started coming in, and now there's actually this integration, which I think is very exciting. But where do you think we're going to be in, say, 5 more years? Is it going to be, you know, that on-grid will be fixed, off-grid will be also taking off, or are we still going to have endless power problems, or what's it going to look like? What are you seeing?
So optimistically, because I choose to be an optimist here, I think that we're going to see the off-grid space evolve. And I think that that integration is really going to come together. I think that you may even see the grid going to places that were off-grid before.
Okay.
But you would see that they will be leveraging on the off-grid.
So more collaboration.
Yes, so more collaborations. They'll be leveraging on the strengths of the off-grid operators. And off-grid operators have to also up their game. Because at the time when they come in there, then you are positioned.
Right. Right. Okay. So we're looking good. It's looking good. And the collaboration
will be optimistic.
The,
yes, okay. It is.
Okay. All right. And as a lawyer, are you allowed to be optimistic? I thought lawyers were always pessimistic. No, I'm just kidding.
but I get your point. But I think that we always try to see things from two different sides.
Yeah, yeah.
So there are the risks, and the risks are clear, and we have to make the risks clear. But there are also mitigation. You know, there's with every risk, there is a mitigation, and there's usually more than one option.
Yeah.
If you want to go to Oshodi, you can walk, you can enter bus, you can drive, you can enter Okada. There are many
helicopter.
Things. Helicopter. There are many options. So.
Right. Okay. All right. I love that. Okay. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
You've broken down some actually quite complicated legal issues into something very simple and easy for everyone to understand.
Thank you.
So listeners, this has been Dolapo Kukoyi from Detail Solicitors. She is, as I said at the beginning, one of the key power sector lawyers for Nigeria and has really been helping to unlock the sector and bring power to you. So thank you for what you're doing.
Thank you.
And I hope you're going to stick with energy. You're not going to go find some other type of law to work on.
I've had many times when I thought, why am I here?
Look, this is why you're here, because you're turning lights on in Nigeria. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. So Lagos, thank you for listening. And we look forward to being back next week.
All right.